This morning, we are going to deal with a series of studies on significant cities in the Scripture. This study was first done at Sungai Nimbong Gospel Hall on the 13th of May. And the first study of the significant cities in Scripture was on Jerusalem. Now, May 13, the day when I spoke on this series or started on this series at Sungai Nimbong Gospel Hall, was very significant, especially with regard to four very important dates. Firstly, there was, on the 9th and 10th of May, the election of a new government in Malaysia. The 9th of May saw an election, and at 4 a.m. on the 10th of May, a new government was announced. Now, I'm not very particularly interested in this, but I would like to touch on the events that led on to this election. Before this election, many Christians were involved in praying for a new government. They were disappointed, to use a very light word, with the government then because of its corruption. And Christians were praying that God will topple down this government and bring about a change in the government. In doing so, sadly speaking, many Christians even were using very harsh words, insensitive words. They regarded this as a spiritual warfare, that the toppling of the previous government would be the bringing down of satanic strongholds and so on. Somehow, this news was circulated in the social media and passed on, so much so that Ravizi, the deputy president of a political society, said, "Please stop doing this because the non-Christians, the non-Muslims, using all these words, their messages have been forwarded to other Muslim groups, and they are very angry." The NECF, the National Evangelical Christian Fellowship, also advised all Christians, please do not use those such words and be insensitive to the other party. Somehow or other, the Christians regarded this election as a spiritual warfare, a war against Satan. Now, my point in bringing up this issue is not about the election, it's not about the government, but what if God did not answer this plea of the Christians and allowed the previous government to continue to today? What would your reaction be? Would you say God had not answered your prayers? Would you say that Satan had won because it was a spiritual warfare? What would you say? Let us not forget Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, that God set up governments, God set up kings, and we need to be subject to them and we need to pray for them. So, that was written by Paul at the time of Emperor Nero. And Emperor Nero was to behead Paul, and he became a martyr under him. And yet Paul said, be subject to him. What should be our reaction be to bad governments, to poor governments? Would we say, Lord, topple this government. Get rid of this government. That would be our will for what God to do for us. Should we not say, nevertheless, not as I will, but thine be done, and be able to accept whatever government God would set up? I bring it up because this is a very pertinent point later on as we study Jerusalem. The second date that was significant was on the 13th of May. Jerusalem Day was celebrated. Now, I'll touch on that later on so that I do not want to waste any more time. 14th of May, 1948, Israel declared its independence and became a state. And they celebrated it on 18th evening, carry on to 19th evening, because the Jewish day would start from the evening of one day and going on to another day, another evening. That was Israel's Independence Day. Again, I will touch on it later on. The fourth important date would be Mother's Day, which fell on 13th of May as well. Now, in what connection should I bring Mother's Day to deal with Jerusalem? Because in Galatians 4:26, we read, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul brought before the Christians there two options, the law and grace. The law is symbolized by Hagar and her son Ishmael. Hagar was a bondwoman, slave, and Ishmael was the product. That would represent the law. Or would we identify ourselves with Sarah and her son Isaac, who will be free, and that will be under grace? There was a discussion between law and grace. And this, stated by Paul, would also refer to Jerusalem. There will be two Jerusalems discussed in that chapter. The earthly Jerusalem, which would belong to Ishmael, and the Jews under the law. Whereas the new Jerusalem would be to the new home of Christians, which is above. And so you find that Jerusalem has some connection with the Jews, with the Muslims, and with Christians. And that's what it's going to be, as we find out. Hagar was the mother of Ishmael. Sarah was the mother of Isaac. One, a bond woman representing the law, and the other, a free woman representing grace. And we are no more under law, but under grace. With this, let's start our study of Jerusalem. In connection with Jerusalem, what is going on in the world today, there are also important dates that we must discuss. For example, there are four significant calendar dates in connection with Israel. One, on 2nd November 1947, there was the Balfour Declaration. What was it all about? Up to the present time, in 1917, Israel, or the Jews, had been dispersed all over the world. They had no state, they had no king. Since the conquest of Israel by Nebuchadnezzar in the 9th century, in the 6th century, we find that Israel never had a king, and Israel never had a state. Then, under the Treaty of Balfour, Britain recognized Israel and said that they should have a state in Palestine. The Treaty of Balfour was very important with regard to Israel because it provided and it recognized that Israel was a people and was entitled to be a state in Palestine. The next one, important date, would be 14th of May, 1948, known as Israel's Independence Day. Now, under the Treaty of Balfour, there were conflicts between the Arabs and Israel. But the conflict that really came to its climax was when 14 May 1948, Israel declared itself to be a state. And therefore, Israel became independent. With that, war really started. But I want you to note this, that in 1948, the population of the Jews was only about 2 to 3 million, as you can see in the chart. But by 2015, it had risen to over 8 million. When Israel was declared a state, all the Jews from all over the world where they were dispersed to returned to Palestine, returned to Israel as a state. And so Israel became a state. And that 14 May 1948 started the recognition of Israel as being a state. Another very important date, in fact, I think the most important one, will be 5 to 10 June 1967. What happened was Israel, up to this time, was allowed to use the Suez Canal. The Suez Canal, so that trade and ships were allowed to pass through the Suez Canal to Israel. But Egypt decided to close the Suez Canal, giving no access to Israel. Israel then would have to go down to the south of Africa to go back up again. That started a war. A very serious war. Abdel Nasser, the president of Egypt, at that time said, "I will push Israel into the Nile." Israel realized that if that happened, Israel would be lost. Israel preempted the attack, and Israel attacked their air force in Egypt, so that almost all their air force were destroyed in just 1-2 days. On top of that, Egypt gave fake news to Jordan and also Syria and said, "Our air force had won the battle. Come and help us to attack Israel." And so Jordan joined in and Israel joined in. The result was, it was a miracle. In 6 days, Israel not only captured the whole of the Sinai Desert and the Gaza Strip, but also the West Bank from Jordan, as well as the Golan Heights from Syria. In 6 days, the battle was won, and Israel would now be secure from the north, east and west. This was a miracle. No one could expect it, that such a small little country could win a battle of such size. And so that, with the conquest or defeat of Jordan on the east, they managed also to capture the West Bank from Jordan. And in the West Bank, there would be Jerusalem. They had control of Jerusalem again. So we find that Here we see, in the least of all expectations, God working for his people Israel. God is in control in every aspect of the world's political developments. Sometimes we want God to act on our behalf. Let us remember this. God has a program. Israel was God's people, and Israel would be under the protection of God. Jerusalem was very important. So let's go on. 2013 of May, Israel celebrated Jerusalem Day. From that day in June 1967 up to today, Jerusalem came under the control of Israel. If not for the Six-Day War, Jerusalem would be out of touch for Israel. But Israel, having annexed Jerusalem, would now control Jerusalem and would never give it up. Why? We shall see as we go on. Let's see again how the world acted against Israel and Jerusalem. 2nd of May, 2017, the United Nations, UNESCO, passed a resolution. And what was it that was resolution? I mentioned that before in Island Glades. It was called the Occupied Palestine Resolution. And in it, Algeria, Egypt, Lebanon, Morocco, Oman, Qatar, and Sudan submitted that Israel has no legal or historical rights anywhere in Jerusalem. That Israel had no rights whatsoever, no heritage rights to Jerusalem. And as a result, we find that even in the Temple Mount, all the English names, Jewish names, were all changed to Arabic names. They were not allowed to use Jewish names. They became Arabic. The vote which coincided with Israel's Independence Day, was passed with 22 countries in favor, 23 abstentions, 10 opposed, and the reps of 3 countries absent. And of course, those who supported would be, of course, Malaysia. 10 countries voted against: the US, UK, Italy, Netherlands, Lithuania, Greece, Paraguay, Ukraine, Togo, and Germany. And this is what happened with the development in the world just a few months ago. US decided to start its embassy in Jerusalem on May the 14, 2018. US made a step and recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and had its embassy there. Now, this was nothing new, because this was already declared even by President, as far back as President Clinton, and the past presidents right down up to President Trump. But no one had the courage to make the move until President Trump stepped in and established his U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. Soon, Paraguay, the next day, 2 days later, followed, and others would also follow. Czech Republic, Romania, Honduras had indicated that they would also follow. Despite 1,300 years of Muslim Arab rule, Jerusalem was never the capital of an Arab entity, nor was it ever mentioned in the Palestinian Liberation Organization's covenant until Israel regained control of East Jerusalem in a Six-Day War. Jerusalem had never been a part in the history of the Arabic world, except for the fact that Muhammad ascended, supposedly, from Jerusalem to heaven. They had no history. In fact, when they prayed, they prayed they faced Becca with their back towards Jerusalem. So now these Arab countries had taken the initiative to deprive Israel of whatever connection they had with Jerusalem. Is this right? Has Israel no connection, whatever, in heritage with Jerusalem? We shall see. This is our study now, Jerusalem. Firstly, let's consider the city of Jerusalem. No doubt, Jerusalem is an international city. It has the three world's religions there: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. As a result, Jerusalem, although annexed by Israel, was pressured to have it under the control of international powers. So that although Jerusalem was 14 miles of west of the Dead Sea, 33 miles from the east of Mediterranean, 2,500 feet above, is on a plateau that will be double the height of Penang Hill, and 3,800 feet above the level of the Dead Sea. So Jerusalem stood on a mountain. David's city, Jebusite Jerusalem, was shaped like a gigantic human footprint at that time. Now, in the old Jerusalem, now known as the old city, is different from the new Jerusalem. The old city was like shaped like a footprint, and we shall be considering this old city as we go into the scriptures. This is a new city of Jerusalem. It has been divided into four areas, four quarters: the Christian quarter, the Jewish quarter, the Armenian quarter, and the Christian quarter. All right? Four quarters altogether. This is what Jerusalem is at the moment. And with East Jerusalem and under international control, so to speak, to allow religions of all the three faiths to come and worship. Let us go now into the history of Jerusalem to find out whether Jerusalem, Israel, has a right to Jerusalem as a city. The Arabic world claims it has no right, no historic connection whatsoever. Is this true? Let's go into the origin of the name Jerusalem. We are not sure how the name came about, but one thing we know, that it may have a Hebrew origin, which refers to a hill of Jerusalem, and that could be Mount Moriah, or as some suppose, to the two parts of the city, the upper and the lower. All right? So the origin of Jerusalem, we are not very sure. But we are sure of this: Jerusalem would be from Shalem, and Shalem would come from Shalom, and Shalom is peace. So Jerusalem is supposed to be a city of peace, but there's little peace. When I was in Israel over 10 years ago, I saw souvenirs being sold, and one of them was a chart of Jerusalem, beautiful chart from the viewpoint of Mount of Olives, looking down, and I bought that chart. I was with a charismatic group, and the charismatic group, one of them approached me and said, "Mr. Ang, why are you buying this chart of Jerusalem?" I said, "Why not? It's a beautiful chart showing the panoramic view of Jerusalem. I'm going to put it in my house and in my study room." "Oh, Jerusalem is a city of no peace. There will never be peace in your home from now onwards." I have put up this chart in my guest room. The ones to have no peace will be the guests who stay in my house. But I assure you, there has been very much peace in my house. After all, my house is called Bethel, the house of God. Why is there no peace in the house of God? So, anyway, this shows you the superstition behind some of these so-called Christian viewpoints. So let us beware. Anyway, the name Jerusalem is from Shalem and Shalom, which is peace. Let's look at its occurrences in Scripture. How many times does the word Jerusalem occur in the Bible? In the Old Testament, 643 occurrences. I always like to do Bible study by looking at the first occurrence and the last occurrence, because that will give us the first initial idea of the concept of what that word is. The first occurrence is found in Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. What is the story behind it? We find that there was this king of Jebusites. If I'm not mistaken, he has a long name, Adonizedek, Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. He recruited four other kings to be with him, five kings. He was afraid that Israel was going to conquer his city, the city of Jerusalem. Israel had already conquered Jericho, had already conquered Ai, and was making peaceful terms with Gibeon, and therefore was heading towards Jerusalem. So he was afraid, and therefore he got together four other kings, and the five kings did battle with Israel. And Israel fought with the battle, and they would win the battle if there was more time. And so they pleaded with God, "Oh Lord, hold the position of the sun. Hold the position of the moon. Let us have an extra day, 24 hours or so." And God did a miracle. The sun stood still. The moon stood still. And Israel was able to use the extra length of time, daytime, to defeat the five kings. And as a result, Jerusalem came under Israel. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, read that story. It's interesting. Jerusalem came under Israel, under Joshua. That was the first occurrence of Jerusalem. The last occurrence of Jerusalem was found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 4, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back, and for the first time, he will be the king in the kingdom. He will be the king, and then all the people will go to him with all the offerings. So they will bring to Jerusalem and offer to the king, the Messiah. Israel would have a king. Prior to that, no king since the defeat under Nebuchadnezzar. In the New Testament, the first occurrence was in Matthew 2:1. You know that very well, when the wise men came and to seek Jesus. "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They came to Jerusalem first. The last occurrence would be reference to a holy Jerusalem that would come down from heaven, from God, to this earth. Revelation 21, verse 10. And so you find that Jerusalem has connection with the Jews, has connection with Christians too, the church, holy Jerusalem from God in the last days. Grand total of the word Jerusalem occurring in the scriptures will be 726 times, Old Testament and New Testament. 726 times. Fact. How many times does the word Jerusalem occur in the Quran? Zero. Not once. And yet they claim that Islam has heritage rights over Jerusalem. Let us go on from here. The oldest form of the name Jerusalem will be Jerusalem, shortened in Psalm 62 to Shalem. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18, we find that God had indeed given Jerusalem to Israel. Hebrews 7 verse 2, Shalem was confirmed as Jerusalem. Because we read, Melchizedek was king of Salem. Shalem is peace, shalom. And there we have the name Jerusalem. So, we find that Old Testament, New Testament, Jerusalem had connection with the Jews as well as with the church, even in its oldest forms. But there are other names used of Jerusalem. For example, Zion or Sion in the New Testament. The translation was from Hebrew and Greek words. And Zion was first mentioned in the account of David's conquest of Jerusalem. I referred to this just now. Let me give you some extra note to interest you. When David was made the king of Israel, first he was only the king in southern Israel, southern kingdom. Then the northern kingdom of 10 states acknowledged him. So he became the king of all the 12 in the Israeli kingdom. So when he became king over all Israel as a nation, he wanted a capital. And he decided that Jerusalem should be the capital. But the Jerusalem was under the Jebusites. So he must conquer the Jebusites. And here we find Israel making plans, David making plans to conquer Jerusalem. Here is something interesting. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 to 7, we see this plan to conquer Jerusalem. The people in Jerusalem were so confident that David was not able to do so. He said, you want to conquer Jerusalem? Jerusalem was on a mountain, remember? Fortified, strong, a very strong citadel, very impregnable, so to speak. You want to conquer Jerusalem? You have first to defeat the blind and the lame in Jerusalem first. He said, we are so confident of this city of Jerusalem. Why? We don't have to defend it. We can put the lame and the blind over there. You go and conquer them first. You can conquer them, then you can conquer Jerusalem. But David was clever. David discovered a so-called gutter or a tunnel under the city. And he sent his men under the city and Jerusalem was conquered. And that's how Jerusalem became the capital of Israel. Jerusalem was the name of the city state as a whole and included numerous villages and houses and so on. After David captured Zion, he decided there and he changed the name to the City of David. No heritage. The Jews had no heritage. Jerusalem was known as the City of David. Again, Zion was used by various biblical authors in various ways to refer to the temple built by Solomon, Israel as a nation, the capital of Judah, the city of God in the new age. So Zion was a name used for Jerusalem in connection with Israel and in connection with the church, but not with Islam. And also in connection with heavenly Jerusalem. All right? These are just references for your interest. Let's go on. Now, on May the 13th, I came up with a rumination. And the rumination had to do with a reflection on Zion, based on Psalm 137, 1 to 4. And even in this time, we find that the Jews who were captives in Babylon, they wrote this psalm about Zion. We wept when we remember Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows. They were crying. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land in Babylon? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning to play the harp. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Israel remembered Zion. Zion, Israel, will be remembered when one day, as we read in Revelation 14, together with 144,000 witnesses, they will gather in Mount Zion and they will sing a new song. So we find that Zion or Jerusalem was relevant to Israel. Jerusalem, Zion or Zion, is also known as the city of David. We find in 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 7, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. The fact that, Jerusalem is connected with David would symbolize the idea that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Here are the evidence that you need. But it is also known as the city of God. Zion, city of David, and city of God. Psalm 46 verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad that city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Rehoboam reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel. Jerusalem, the city where I have chosen to be put my name. So Jerusalem is not only the city of the Jews, the city of David, the city of God. And that's why Israel today claims Jerusalem to be the eternal city given to them. And they will never, never give it up. Let me give you a summary of what I've said, because I've said a lot of things. I have brought before you four significant calendar dates connected with Jerusalem regarding the city, its connotation, its origin, its occurrences in the Bible, so many of them, its oldest form, its other names, Zion, city of David, city of God. Now we shall discuss God's choice of the Jews and Jerusalem. And after that, God's chastisement of and curses on Jerusalem. Let's deal with the next one. God's choice of the Jews and Jerusalem. Now, God not only chose the place, Jerusalem, to be his city, God chose the people in of Israel as his people. God's special choice of the people. They were known as the Hebrews in Exodus 3:18, known as the Jews in 2 Kings 16:6, and God said specifically in Deuteronomy 7:6-9, God sovereignly chose the Jews, elected the Jews, not because they were big in numbers, not because they were a great nation, but because God said, I choose to love you, period. I love you, finish. Nothing more, nothing less. And I have the right to choose you. That's God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. But at the same time, as God's choice, God's sovereign choice of the place of worship as well. See, after they have come out from the wilderness wanderings, they will enter the Holy Land. And God said to them, Jerusalem will be the place of my choice for you to worship. God said, or God commanded the people of Israel to come together, and he said, I will bless you if you obey. I will curse you if you disobey. And he set out all the things that Israel must do in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 45. Please note this. While God had his sovereign will to choose to elect his people Israel to be his, he also gave them a free will of choice, whether they would obey or disobey. If they would obey, God would bless them, and they would receive immediate blessing. But if they disobey, God would punish them, curse them. But would God's plan be upset? Would God's will be upset? No. God's plan would not be upset. It would be deferred. But what he had made as a covenant promise to Abraham, he must keep. And so Israel, though disobedient, would be put aside until such time when they repented and God would take them back and God will renew his program with Israel. Now, this is the plan of the scriptures as we see it. Israel has never been replaced by the church. The church has not replaced Israel, as some people believe. Israel today has been cast aside, but Israel will be drawn back, and God will go on with his program with Israel in the days to come. Right, very quickly, God's curse on the Jews and Jerusalem. God said, I'll bless you if you obey. But Israel disobeyed. And the greatest sin they ever committed was when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah God sent to them. And as a result, God punished them. But before that, God had also punished them, because one of the commandments that God gave to Israel was this: do not go into idolatry. I am your God. Do not worship idols. They did. Let's look at the history of the Jews and Jerusalem. David captured the city, as we read just now, from the Jebusites. David therefore brought the ark into the city to make it into the city of God, the city of David. Then, after David had established Jerusalem as the capital, under later kings, we find that they went into idolatry. And when they went into idolatry, God brought in a very cruel government, Nebuchadnezzar and his rule, to subdue Israel. Now, question, would God bring a bad, cruel government onto God's people? Would not it be satanic? No. God had a purpose. God was going to punish Israel. God had told Israel, if you disobey, I will send you out of the land for 70 years. Then I will bring you back again. They did not listen. They disobeyed. God therefore sent Nebuchadnezzar, whom he will raise up. And we say that Nebuchadnezzar was God's anointed. Nebuchadnezzar was led by the nose, so to speak, to attack Israel. And came under Israel was by Babylon. this program of God using the world's government to defeat Israel was portrayed very clearly in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Now, we have no time to go into this, but God put it very simply in figurative form, prophesying that after Nebuchadnezzar, there would come Medo-Persia, there would come Greece, and there would come the Roman Empire to suppress Israel. And all these came to pass. They were not, don't you think that the Jews during those times were crying out, God, please remove this government from us. God, we are under satanic warfare, and God, please eliminate this cruel government. No. God has a purpose. God had a will to be performed. They had been disobedient. God must punish them until time came when the Lord should come, when the Messiah should come, and then God will carry out his program accordingly. And so, we find that even Ezekiel prophesied, Israel, if you do not believe, if you don't obey, I will bring Nebuchadnezzar from the north to attack you. So Nebuchadnezzar came, and the temple was destroyed. The temple, which was so holy to them, which they treasured so much, was razed to the ground because Israel went into idolatry in disobedience to God. And in 586 BC, we find Nebuchadnezzar razed the temple to the ground. Now, that was a very important date because from that time onwards, we find that Israel never had a king anymore. Never had a king until today because they were disobedient. So, God said Israel would be under Babylon for 70 years. We shall be studying Babylon after Jerusalem. 70 years. Not 68 years, not 65 years, not 75 years. 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, God brought up another king, Cyrus. God said, after the 70 years, I will raise up an anointed, Cyrus. And God named Cyrus, chapter Isaiah 45, verses 1 and 4, 300 years before he was born. God said, I will send my anointed to bring you back into Jerusalem, to build up the temple again. God had his plan. God had willed that it should be so, and it's not for us to challenge his will. And so Cyrus was the one who allowed Israel and the people to go back to build Jerusalem and the temple. And so we learned this already, as you have been doing in your studies. So I do not want to waste time. All this is accounted for in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Right. So under Nehemiah, the city developed. After Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus, there came other empires, and one of them was Greece. Alexander the Great came in 332 BC, as we read. And all these you can find in the image seen by King Nebuchadnezzar with regard to God's program for the world. And all this was prophesied before the empires came into existence. Ptolemy's Soter attacked the city in 320 BC. The Seleucids, the Syrians, wrested control of Palestine. And all this were fulfilled. Among the Greeks, the Grecians, who attacked Israel was Antiochus Epiphanes. Note him. Antiochus Epiphanes in 168 BC was brought in because he was referred to as the abomination of desolation in Matthew chapter 24. What do I mean? Antiochus Epiphanes was a king that was very cruel, and he brought in a pig into the temple. Now, that was blasphemous. And as a result, we find that the Jews rebel against him. Now, that act of bringing the pig for sacrifice into the temple of God, was indeed sacrilege. And that was referred to in Mark 24 as the abomination of desolation. So that we read, when you see the abomination of desolation in the temple, flee, because that will be the time when the persecution would start. And true enough, in 70 AD, we find the Romans attack Jerusalem. And under Titus, they came and they razed the temple of Jerusalem to the ground. And you know what happened? Matthew 24 says this. The Lord Jesus Christ was sitting on Mount of Olives, overlooking Jerusalem. And as he looked at Jerusalem, beautiful Jerusalem with its beautiful temple, the Lord said, not one stone of the temple would lay on the other. The temple would be laid flat. And true enough, Titus attacked the temple in 70 AD. 1 million people died. Now, I have jumped one step. Never mind. That was his temple in the time of Christ. It was a very beautiful temple built by Herod. Not actually built by Herod, but renovated. It took 300 years to extend that temple that was built. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, this beautiful temple, not one stone of it will lay upon the other. And true enough, in 70 AD, under General Titus, the Roman general, we find that this temple was razed to the ground. Now, it was not the idea of General Titus to burn the temple down, because it was very precious. There was gold in the temple. There was the Ark of the Covenant. There was a golden lampstand. There was a lot of furniture made of gold. And they wanted the gold. How could they just raise it to the ground? But one disobedient soldier threw a torch into the window in the temple, and that burned the curtain in the temple, and the curtain burned all the other things in the temple, and we find that the whole temple was raised to the ground. As a result, we find that the furniture, the golden items in the temple, melted, and the gold melted and went into the various bricks and stones. And when the army came along, they wanted the gold, and so they dug up the debris and they took out the stone so that not one stone was laid on the other in order to get at the gold. The Lord's prophecy was fulfilled. So 70 AD, Jerusalem was razed to the ground, and from that time onwards, Jerusalem was not occupied by the Jews. Until recently, as I pointed out, by the Treaty of Balfour and Jerusalem being annexed in the Six-Day War. All the Jews were scattered over the world after 70 AD, when Jerusalem was razed to the ground. So, the next section will be the history of the early church and the city of Jerusalem. And we'll see what happens. That one, we have no time for today. And I'm also tired. So, we shall serve it for next week. May we pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thine will. Thine will in the affairs of this world, that Thou art in sovereign control. And we thank Thee that what Thou hast covenanted with Thine people, Abraham, in an unconditional way, Thou will keep that covenant. And we know that one day Israel will be restored unto thee according to the covenant that thou hast made with Abraham. But in the meanwhile, Lord, we do realize too that Israel had been disobedient unto thee and they are being punished. Lord, we do pray that we may learn precious lessons from there, that we too may be obedient to thee, even as we are sure of our salvation because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize too, Lord, that one day that when we are disobedient, we will get chastised. Lord, help us to be obedient to thee. So thank you, Lord, for thy word. Bless it to our edification, we do pray. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.